Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bol. Glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauranga Vacharana, Nirvishesha, Sunyavadi, Pashat, Adhisa Tarane. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritam Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki.
Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan. Unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and of course, Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. We are reading today from the first canto in chapter 13, which is called Dhritarashtra Quits Home. We're on text number 21. Pitrir Bhratrir Surit Putra. Pitrir Bhratrir Surit Putra. Hataste Vigatam Vayam. Hataste Vigatam Vayam. Atmacha Jaraya Grasta. Atmacha Jaraya Grasta. Harageham Upasase. Harageham Upasase. Pitri Bratrir Surit Putra. Hataste Vigatatva Vayam. Atmaja, Atmaja Jaraya Grasta. Haragaham Upasase. Please chant.
Pitri
Bhatri Surit Putra.
Hataste
Vigatam Vayam. Padagayam upasase. Pitrir bratir surit putra. Hataste vigata vayam. Atmachajarayam rasa. Padagayam upasase. Pitir Bratir Srit Putra Hataste Vigatam Vayam Atma Chajaraya Drasta Parageham Upasate Pitir Bratir Srit Putra Hataste Vigatam Vayam So this first line, Pitrir Bratrir Surit Putra, that mentions everybody in the family. Pitrir, father. Bratrir, brother. Surit, well wishers. Putra, sons. And this is what happens to them. Hata, all dead. Te, yours. Vigatam, expended. Vayam, age. Atma, the body. Cha, and this is what happens to us. Jaraya, by invalidity. Rasta, overcome. Paragaham, another's home. Upasase, you do live. So this is Vidura continuing his instructions to Dhritarashtra. But we need to adjust our consciousness so that we're not thinking that these instructions are for Dhritarashtra. These instructions are for us. And when we think of Dhritarashtra's position, sometimes I think, what a stubborn, obstinately stubborn personality that he's heard so many instructions his whole life and still not been able to apply them. But actually, when I was thinking that, I was thinking, actually, I'm worse because I've heard it for so long and still I think on my body and still I think that these things are going to save me and so many things. So if we listen with rapt attention to Srila Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam's instructions, we'll see how they apply to ourselves. So here's Srila Prabhupada's translation. Your father, brother, well-wishers and sons are all dead and passed away. You yourself have expended the major portion of your life. Your body is now overtaken by invalidity, and you are living in the home of another. Shall we say it together so we can have a wonderful day of thoughtfulness? Your father, brother, well-wishers, and sons are all dead and passed away. You yourself have expended the major portion of your life, and your body is now overtaken by invalidity, and you are living in the home of another. Omagina chimiranjasya jinandina salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance and I was totally convinced that I was my body and that I was going to find some way to be happy in this material world. But Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And even though I try to keep my eyes shut and try to enjoy still by hearing and hearing and hearing, I'm totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada for at least showing me the right path, and with all your mercy, I may walk that path one of these soon days. So Srila Prabhupada's purport. So just another point too. Some of us are in this room are in this same age frame where we've passed the major portions of our life, and so many we've seen and passed through so many different deaths of near and dear ones. And some of us in this room are in the prime of youth, you could say. So we think, oh, perhaps a person in the prime of youth will think, oh, when I get old, I won't be like that old lady. I won't be so forgetful. I won't be so this. I won't be so that. But you never know how the life comes and affects us in different ways. So my point is, there's instructions here for all of us and all ages in our lifespan. Purport, by Srila Prabhupada. The king is reminded of his precarious condition, influenced by cruel time. And by his past experience, he should have been more intelligent to see what was going to happen in his own life. We see different calamities or different situations in other people's life, and we feel empathy for them. But also there's, in the back of the mind, there's a relief that it's them and not us, you know? But here's the example. This is happening to everybody. This is happening to everybody, and there's different circumstances how it happens, but everyone, all of our near and dear ones are going to pass away sooner than you expect, sooner than you're ever going to want. No matter how much time passes before that happens, we're never going to be prepared for it. And yesterday we heard a lot about time and how to utilize our time properly. So this is Vidura now reminding King Dhritarashtra one more time, reminding him speaking very cutting words and yet very truthful words meant for his benefit. So his father, Vitrachavirya, died long ago when he and his younger brothers were all little children. And it was due to the care and kindness of Bhishma Dev that they were properly brought up. Then again, his brother Pandu died also. And that wasn't it. That was just the beginning. Then in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, his 100 sons died. And not only 100 sons, but all his grandsons all died, along with other well-wishers like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, Karna, and many other kings and friends. So he had lost all men and money and was living at the mercy of his nephew, which sounds so nice, doesn't it? But at the same time, we're well aware of the storyline here. His nephew was the one that he was trying to dethrone and kill and defame in so many ways. And now he's living very comfortably in his house, whom he had tried put into troubles of various types. And now here's one of the clinchers. And despite of all these reverses, he thought he would prolong his life more and more. And so again, when we're thinking of this as instructions for Dhritarashtra, we think of Dhritarashtra as a poor, unfortunate Durmati, a hard-headed guy who doesn't understand these transcendental instructions. But again, taking that transcendental mirror and looking at ourselves, how much are we really imbibing this? We hear it, we hear it, we hear it, and we believe it, and we see it. But then when we experience these things, we see that there's a different level of cognition. We can understand it theoretically in our head and accept it. Yes, everyone in this world is passing through. Everyone that I'm attached to is going to die sooner or later, but probably not for a really long time. Maybe I'll be the first one to die, and then I won't have to suffer, you know, through other, you know, the loss of a loved one, which is what I thought. But anyway, Hare Krishna, you know, and still, so you see the disconnect. You still see how we have to edge up to come to practice, practice, practice to come to actually realize this transcendental knowledge. So despite of all the reverses that Dhritarashtra went through in his life, which were way more calamitous than what's going to happen to most of us, you could say, because none of us have close to 100 sons. But anyway, aside from that, you know, all the family, all the wealth, all the kingdom, everything gone. And still he's thinking, let me... he was very happy that Yudhisthira would address him as Rajan, the king. Vidura wanted to point out to Dhritarashtra that everyone has to protect himself by his action and by the grace of the Lord. Very interesting, isn't it? Vidura wanted to point out to Dhritarashtra that everyone has to protect himself by his action and the grace of the Lord. So if you'll all kindly remind me, I want to come back to this one sentence and speak on this one sentence a little bit. But, you know, the effects of old age might be there, and I might forget if you don't remind me. Okay. One has to execute his duty faithfully, depending for the result on the supreme authority. No friend, no children, no father, no brother, no state, and no one else can protect a person who is not protected by the Supreme Lord. There's a lot you could say about that too. Okay, one should therefore seek the protection of the Supreme Lord, for the human form of life is meant for seeking that protection. He was warned of his precarious conditions more and more by the following verses. So these instructions will continue to pierce our ears and heart for the next how many days and weeks. But they're all very sharp instructions and very pertinent instructions to all of us. So this one sentence, one has to execute his duty faithfully, depending for the result on the supreme authority. So that sentence struck me. I had to think about it a lot. What does it mean? So Srila Prabhupada explains to us that sometimes we're thinking that what I'm gaining in this life is due to the endeavor that I've made in this life. So Srila Prabhupada points out that that's not the fact. What we're experiencing in this life is due to activities that we've previously executed in previous lives. And we're enjoying or suffering the results of those things. This life, we're developing what our next life is going to be. The activities of this life are developing what our next life is going to be. So taking that in that perspective, then this sentence, one has to execute his duty faithfully. That everyone has to protect himself by his action. That's the one that I wanted to say. Sorry. And despite these reverses, he thought that he would prolong his life more and more. Vidura wanted to point out to Dhritarashtra that everyone has to protect himself by his action and by the grace of the Lord. So by our actions in this life, then we're seeking, by those actions in devotional service, this is how we demonstrate that we're seeking the protection of the Lord. And therefore, in correlation and to yesterday's class of the time factor, how time is slipping away, is taking away our lifespan day by day, and that can't be bought back with hundreds and thousands of millions of dollars, even a second. So the point is to utilize our time as best we can in the service of the Lord, because this is what's shaping our future. We're saying and praying and hoping and desiring, yes, dear Lord, dear Srila Prabhupada, dear spiritual master, I want to engage in Krishna's service. I want to go back home, back to Godhead. I want to give up my attachment and my attraction, which was a little bit of what Pran Govinda Prabhu was saying, reading from Chaitanya Charan's Bhagavad Gita quote. I want to give up my attraction for the material enjoyments So therefore, let me engage the most I can in devotional service. And how's that going to look? For different people, it's going to look differently because we have different tendencies and propensities and desires and abilities. So take the ability and the tendency and the desire that you have and offer it at the lotus feet of Shishi Radhashama Sunda Krishna Balaram Shishi Gorni Thai and Srila Prabhupada. And that way, that's a demonstration that we are making that endeavor. Another thing, over here, in the other sentence, no friend, children, father, brother, no state, and no one else can protect a person who is not protected by the Supreme Lord. So that's another, in one sense, a tricky sentence. Because we're thinking and praying for different people's protection, especially during this pandemic, you know, you pray for the protection of the devotees that are suffering in India and the devotees that are suffering here and there and the devotees who have lost near and dear ones and their family and for the our close associates. And we're seeing this one's dying, that one's dying, great devotees are dying. And so the mind might think, oh, Krishna's not protecting them? Because our conception might be protection means keep them alive, keep them with me. And if you actually examine that a little bit, it's kind of very selfish. Keep them with me so I'll be happy in their association. But anyway, aside from that, but still also the mind might think, oh, Krishna didn't protect that person, he lost his life. But that's not how, Krishna's protection doesn't come in a certain way all the time. It comes in various ways. It comes in various ways. And because Krishna sees the past of the individual, sees the present activities of the individual, and sees the future of the individual, his protection might look different to what we would think would protection would be because we're just seeing the present situation with our eyes. But Krishna sees everything, and his protection, he can be offering the most wonderful protection by bringing that devotee back to his lotus feet. So that has to be acknowledged, that his protection, Krishna's protection, might not look like what I think protection looks like, but it's there. And his protection might look, and Krishna's protection might be that he takes a devotee out of one situation, one lifetime situation, and puts him in a more glorious lifetime to execute more service, and then, you know, future going back to Godhead. So Krishna's protection can come in many mysterious ways. That's a thing that you kind of learn over the course of time. You learn that. His idea and my idea of comfort and happiness might be slightly different. The Lord is like that. There's a prayer in Padyavali. I offer my respectful obeisances to wonderful, playful, mischievous Krishna, who can, if he likes, make an ocean dry land an ocean. He can turn a mountain into a pile of dust. He can make a piece of grass, a thunderbolt. And he can make a thunderbolt like a piece of grass. He can do anything, but he's wonderful, he's playful, and he's mischievous. So it's hard to analyze, he doesn't have just one option. He has many options on how to be merciful and how to protect his devotees. But ultimately, because of that loving connection that he has, and that also, again, was in this reading that Pran Govinda Prabhu read just now, that Krishna loves the living entities even more than we're willing or able to love him. He loves them, and he remembers that connection. And therefore, in his loving attitude, he's arranging different things for them. He's arranging different situations for them. And it might look like he's arranging certain situations that are totally frustrating. And you could say, well, thanks a lot for that. But why is that? Because if that's a protection, because by feeling that frustration, one will think, maybe this isn't actually the right path to pursue. Pounding my head against the wall, trying to be happy in so many ways, apparent ways, and then it's not coming through like I thought. It might seem like, immediately it might seem like, hey, come on, I'm trying, Krishna, why are you doing that? And he's saying, no, I'm putting this wall here with little spikes on it too, so that you'll see, hey, don't bump your head on that wall. Turn to me in full dependence. And the more fully you depend on me, the more fully I will give myself to you. So there's no comparison as to holding on to my, what I consider happiness, and reaching out and accepting what Krishna's plan for our ultimate happiness is. There's no comparison. So these series of verses have brought to my mind this story of Yudhisthira Maharaj when they were in incognito in exile. And at one point, Yudhisthira Maharaj was feeling very thirsty, so he sent, and I don't know the order of whom he sent first, maybe he sent Bhima first to get some water. Okay, he went by age probably. Okay, that was a guess on my part, but thanks for confirming that. Anyway, whatever, whomever he sent first to look for some water came across this wonderful lake that looked really, that it had nice sweet water. So he was about to grab the water, and the story was there was a voice that said, don't take this water, it belongs to me, and it could have been Bean. And he said, I gotta get the water for you to steer. And he said, if you take the water, you're gonna die. He said, and anyway, so then he died. Then Yudhisthira, when Bhima didn't come back, he sent another brother, all his brothers were dead. Finally, Yudhisthira said, no, all of his brothers were dead and didn't return. Yudhisthira said, something's going on here. So he went to look for water himself, and he saw his brothers dead, and he was dying of thirst himself. He was about to drink water, and the yaksha said to him, don't drink the water, or you'll end up like your brothers, unless you can answer my question. So this exchange between the yaksha, who was actually Dhammaraj, the personification of religion, who had taken this form of a yaksha, and Yudhisthira is very interesting. And it shows the depth of Yudhisthira Maharaj's understanding of religious principles. So one of the things that we've read in our after Mangal Aarti meetings in the last week or two was about pleasing speech. And that was also a subject in one of the classes, because one of the verses were how one should speak pleasingly, and at the same time we're comparing it to how Vidura is speaking so cuttingly to Dhritarashtra, but with the aim of pulling him out of his illusion. So anyway, one of the first questions that the yaksha asked Yudhisthira was, who is pleasing? And Yudhisthira said right off the bat, a person who speaks in a pleasing manner is pleasing. And then he asked them, who is truly happy? And he said, one who cooks his own food. But what does that mean? That he's not dependent on anyone else. One who's not dependent on anyone else is happy, and is not a debtor, does not spend more than he can afford, does not have to leave home to make an order to earn his livelihood. In other words, he doesn't over-endeavor for material things. That person is truly happy. And now here, this is the pertinent one for today's class. What's the most amazing thing? Now, if you're not familiar with this conversation, if I asked you what the most amazing thing, or you ask a few people what the most amazing thing is, you know, who knows what they'll say. They'll say, there's this new bridge in China that spans over from one mountain peak to another mountain peak that's X miles long, and it's a footbridge, and you could say, oh, that's the most amazing thing. Or you could say the new swimming pool in the Dubai, the new skyscraper in Dubai that's on the top floor, higher than the Empire State Building, that's a plexiglass swimming pool. That's the most amazing thing. It was on the Weather Channel. That's the only one I look at. Okay, you could say so many things. Yudhisthira said right off the bat, what's the most amazing thing? The most amazing thing is that even though we see and experience that everyone around us is dying, still we think we're not going to die. That is so amazing, isn't it? I was taking a walk through the woods, and you think, oh, it's so beautiful here, and the trees, and the grass, and the this, and the that. And you see dead branches all over the place. You see tipped over trees all over the place. And you see broken sticks on the ground. And you see dead plants. And you see live ones, too. But the mind focuses on what we consider the beauty, and we forget that we're seeing death all the time. We're seeing death all the time, and simultaneously coming closer to our own death all the time. And yet we're thinking, it's far away. Or not yet, a few more years, you know, a vague number of years, or this or that. And then when it happens, it's just like ice water thrown in your face. Oh, that's really happening? Oh, that's really happening? And you see the disconnect between what we think that we understand and accept, and what our emotions, how our emotions have such a hold on us. You know? Yeah. Anyway. And then he asked, the Yaksha asked Yudhisthira, what's the news? So if you go up and you ask somebody, what's new? They'll say, oh, my pump went out yesterday. That's my news. My pump went out yesterday. I've been without water for a couple of days. Blah, blah, blah. That's my news. What's your news? Oh, the car broke down, blah, blah, blah. My kid got in trouble in school, blah, blah, blah. What's the news? Yudhisthira Maharaj said, what's the news? He said, this material world is like a frying pan. And so what's cooking? The sun is the fire. The day and nights are the fuel. The passing seasons are the stirring ladle. Stir it up. Stir up that fuel and the days and the nights, stir it up. All and time, who's cooking? Time. Time is cooking all of our plans on that frying pan of material life. Sun's cooking, sun is the heat, day and night are the fuel. Sun's cooking it from the top, day and night are cooking it from the bottom. And thus, all living entities are being fried in this pan. So it is bona fide to say, how are you doing? I'm fried. It's bona fide. I'm fried because I'm in this cooking pan of material life. And this is the point. This is the real news of what is happening in the material world, which is a miserable place full of ignorance. Now that we've said that reality, we're still really happy. We're happy because why? Because Srila Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to engage in devotional service and reawaken who we really are. That eternal living entity who is not going to get old and have sore knees and have their liver not function and their teeth fall out. We're not going to be like that forever. Maybe another life or two, maybe. Or maybe the end of this life, maybe. But anyway, this is not who we are. So that's why we can say these very stark, wake up, even a tad offensive statement. Every living entity is miserable in this material world, and they're being cooked on the frying pan. And we're all just, Haribol, Haribol. Those Hare Krishnas are quite an amazing group, aren't they? Haribol, Haribol. Because the more you contrast the real reality and the eternal reality, the choice becomes quite obvious. Let me choose that spiritual reality. Let me choose spiritual life more wholeheartedly, with more sincere endeavor. Yes, I've made many mistakes. Yes. And perhaps, I don't know, but I can say this. And for sure, I'm going to make many more. And perhaps you'll make a couple more mistakes in your life. But for sure, I'm going to make many more. But that is not going to totally, hopefully, depending on what kind of mistakes I make, not totally going to impede my opportunity to make spiritual progress. And so I can still endeavor day after day, moment by moment, hour by hour, you know, lecture by lecture, remembrance by remembrance, focus in on the progress that I want to make in this life, the opportunity that this life is presenting for me to make progress on the spiritual path and get out of that frying pan of material life. And this is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Bhagavatam's glory. Such a painting of hopeful reality. Such a painting of the stark contrast between material life, real material life. Now, like if you went to that swimming pool that they just, it's not open yet. They're still working on it in Dubai. It's going to be open in October, as far as I know. And if you went to that swimming pool on the top of the newest, largest skyscraper in Dubai, and just started to tell everybody there that just paid $400 billion to get a condo in that skyscraper building, so that they could swim in the world's largest and highest plexiglass pool. That means that people can see you from underneath, swimming, whatever. And you started to say these things. This material world is just like a frying pan, and everyone's miserable, and the sun's cooking the days and night of the. And they might think, okay, buddy, why don't you just step over that ledge a little bit? Take a few steps back off the ledge. You know, they might all not immediately embrace the instructions, but at least we've developed some small taste to hear by Prabhupada's grace, by Krishna's grace. We've developed some small taste to hear. So we need to push, call it lean in. We need to lean in to that tendency and try to develop it more and more. So Bhagavatam paints that reality. What is this material world? And it also gives us a glimpse. What is the spiritual world? What are the potencies and powers of the Supreme Lord? How he loves and protects his devotees and guides them in their life to wake up. So this is also although here it's directly Vidura giving the wake-up call to Dhritarashtra. This is orchestrated, as you well know, it is orchestrated by Krishna. Vidura is just the instrument. Nimitta Matra, he's just the instrument. So we can also try to be an instrument, but an instrument for others, but before for others, for ourselves. We need to first wake up before you can wake someone else up. Anyway, those are just some passing thoughts on this very pointed topic. If you have discussions, questions, doubts, or corrections or additions, Sri Devi, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, thank you.
Thank you. That was a really ecstatic class. I was thinking how those people in the Dubai skyscraper that are swimming in the swimming pool, the plexiglass, and they have a lot of money. And the moment when they're like swimming in that pool and they think they have everything and they're on top of the world, they're still not happy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Like, we're happier than they are.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Also, we were in that situation, not in such an opulent situation, but we were there thinking, what I'm doing is making me happy, and no, yeah, there's a little anxiety too mixed in, but this is life, and this is all I know, and I accept that. So until we can get injected through the ear with information of another life, what I was going to say is, there's that little buzz in the back of your head, there must be more. You know, and if a person tries to cover that little thought, it's a supersoul, the supersoul saying, uh-uh. But he's saying it softly because we're not trying to hear. And plus, because we cover it over with, you know, intoxication or this or that or a more intense desire to enjoy or more varieties of enjoyment or whatever, then it's hard to hear the super soul. So you have to clear off all that distracted noise so we can hear the soft voice of the super soul, because he's there and he's guiding. But the problem is we've developed the habit of not listening to that, trying to cover it up, that dissatisfaction. Yeah, and that's, and there, and someone in an opulent position like that has unlimited varieties of way to cover up that soft voice of dissatisfaction. So in one sense, and it's not sour grapes that we're saying, you know, they're in a more miserable position. I'm not envious of them. Hare Krishna. Other comments or questions? Or
like if they were Krishna conscious and like enjoying that lifestyle, like maybe.
They could be swimming in that water thinking Krishna's providing this water, he provided the intelligence, you know, so many things. Yeah. Let's have Harinam in the pool. You know, whatever. Yes.
Thank you for such a wonderful class. Can you hear me? I was in LA around Journey Within Release in Barnes & Noble, and Radhana Swami was publishing the book that time. So there were about 40 people, very interested people and everything, and I was talking to the person there, and he said, you have no idea, yesterday there were 700 teenagers here. And they were just, I said, what was the release, book release? And he said, no, it was not even book release. This guy posts some videos for 7 seconds. That's the attention span. He posts videos for 7 seconds. They are not even funny. They are some mundane fun. And there were so many teenagers. And when I was hearing you today, I felt like we can take some clips of your class today. They were so nice, amazing, and post it. So, wow. So a really entertaining class, and I'm so grateful for that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. A fertile brain there, Hare Krishna. Okay, that's all?
Let me check to see.
Okay.
I like that line that Prabhupada put, that everyone has to protect himself by his action and the grace of the Supreme Lord.
Yeah.
So I was thinking also another way, to, as you demonstrated the flying, the living being, he said, she didn't fly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaiva Dharma says that those who are the devotees, they understand four things. One is, what is the suffering? Suffering is not the old age disease only. Suffering is that what actually we need and we want. We never get it in the material level. And what we don't want, we are being imposed. So that was the first. And then he says, the cause of that suffering is that we broke that relationship. We lost that relationship. And then third was to get out, to get back or come out of it, we have to revive or re-establish our relationship. And then fourth point, he said, in the process, we have to tolerate, learn how to tolerate. Mm. So then he gave, just like a raw gold turned into a beautiful ring in Krishna's hand, one, that piece of gold, or the living entity is compared here, has to go through this heating and hammering. It sounds good, but going through is not good. It's really miserable. So then he says, the association of those advanced devotees can keep us steady in that process, otherwise not possible.
So nice.
But the way you presented, very nice. Thank you.
That same example of the purifying the gold is given in the 10th canto as to why, as an explanation as to why the residents of Vrindavan sometimes are put into, you know, tremendous anxiety over Krishna, because that he was quoting from the Acharyas, because this was the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. So they were quoting how that they're heated, the gold is heated, and although gold is pure, there are some impurities in there, so then when it's heated, the impurities are released. So the residents of Vrindavan sometimes are given even more severe tests, because any to remove any subtle impurities that are that might be left. Yeah, thank you. Anything there? Okay, good. Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, thank you very kindly. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Glory to Srimad Bhagavatam. Vanchakapa Trudas. Jai.